storylines that are going on in the country that may or may not have been in the mainstream news. Now, a project was undertaken by the University of Johannesburg Institute for the Future of Knowledge, and this was done in partnership with Picturing Health. On the line, we have UJ's Professor Alex Broadbent, and the story we're focusing on is a new documentary which focuses on some of the challenges and hazards of COVID-19 lockdowns for globally for the poor. Prof, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you and good morning.
So tell us a little bit about the documentary that has been put together and focusing on this particular issue.
Okay, this is a documentary which aims to highlight the plight of very poor people, particularly in Africa and India, in the face of lockdowns. The idea behind it is that locking down is much easier to do if you're in a wealthy country, and if you are wealthy, it's perhaps impossible in many of our townships, and the consequences of very poor people are dire and may even be more serious than the disease itself. On the other hand, the benefits that are offered may be less because there are so many fewer elderly people in these regions. So to give you an idea, something like 3% of Africa is over 65, 20% of Europe. So the question is, you know, whether there are other things one can do. And we ask experts, but we also ask ordinary people. One of the points of the film is to give a voice to people in the poorest parts of the world.
Yeah. So, Prof, how did you go about making the documentary in the current stage?
Well, a lot of it was by remote control. So we had people on the ground in different countries. We had people going out in Malawi and talking to people living in informal settlements there. We had sort of phone calls going through from Glasgow to, you know, Malawian village leaders and so forth. People going around in Uganda. And then obviously we, you know, there's the available news footage of huge migrations of people in India, which really we just highlighted. And then of course we conducted Zoom and interviews with various experts around the world. So it was done by remote control.
Which is something that's absolutely crucial if we look at the current state of affairs. Prof, with this in mind, we certainly are aware that our president is walking a tightrope of a spectrum around health and the economy, and they're repurposing our budget, our annual budget for the year, and we've heard our Minister of Treasury, our finance minister, talking about that as well. Do you see that engagement is being addressed?
To be honest, I think what's going on at the moment is something of admission of failure. If you look at the actual data, I mean, deaths are continuing to rise, infections are continuing to rise. I mean, obviously, you'd hardly expect either of them to go downwards, particularly the deaths. So it's not clear why they're releasing the lockdown, except that ultimately it probably wasn't the right thing in the first place. It's not been particularly effective here. At least if you look at the data, it doesn't appear to have been particularly effective, which isn't surprising, given that we can't really go into lockdown here. So I think what's really going on is that people are finally seeing that this is not sustainable, and that the measures we have to use here cannot be as strict and cannot be the same as what's done in Europe. You can't just plonk that stuff down here.
Prof, some people would argue very differently and say that, in fact, what has been done is that in that time of the lockdown, they were able to prepare hospitals, and that the understanding is not that deaths won't rise. There is, I think, a very clear understanding that deaths will rise, and we are seeing that happen, but that what we've done is protect and protect hospitals, etc., for people who have COVID-19 and may be in a very serious condition.
There's a couple of things to say to that.
Yeah.
One is that protection and preparation could involve diverting resources from other things, such as HIV treatments. And, you know, you've got to remember that maybe well, definitely over 1.5 million children in Africa will have already died so far this year from pneumonia, malaria, childbirth things. So there's a real danger of repurposing things that are much needed for diseases that are frankly more serious for the largest portion of our population, given that, you know, the median age in this country is 27, Africa is 19, towards something that's really a threat for older and wealthier people, who you find more of in the developed world. So it's not, I mean, it may be that we've prepared the hospitals. You've got to remember that that may involve diverting resources away from other things. The second thing is that, oh, and of course the HIV treatment, which is a big problem. The second thing is that in many hospitals in Africa, there simply are no ventilators. So South Africa is a special case. We're actually a middle-income country. Many countries in the region are low-income. You know, people don't have access to health care in the first place in many of these places, even if they do. I mean, if you look at the major hospital in Malawi, you know, they have like two ventilators or something. I mean, it's you know, the idea that it's made any difference in those sorts of contexts, I think, is a fallacy. What we did was we just copied what was happening in other places. And of course, malnutrition weakens people. So if there is going to be an outbreak of COVID and people are starving more than they were, it actually just not clear that it was the right thing for this region. I'm not saying that we should have done nothing, but I think what we did was copy, and we didn't think about the costs and the benefits. And it's very unclear that the cost benefits here will be the same as in Europe.
The cost benefits, of course, will be very, very different here, and I think you're quite correct on that. If we look at South Africa in comparison to other African countries, what have you raised within the making of this documentary?
So, South Africa is complicated. It's going through the epidemiological transition from infectious to chronic disease burden. There's a lot of diabetes. You know, a smaller proportion of the population is rural. You know, in Africa as a whole, the diseases tend to be more of related to age, less hypertension, less diabetes, and so forth. Nonetheless, I think it is important to understand that the country is very unequal. So even though we look like a middle-income country, we have people living in very poor conditions and in very rural conditions. You know, it does seem to me that something one could have done earlier was what China did and lock down a region, specifically Gauteng, or basically Pretoria and Joburg, which is what China did. They didn't lock down. They locked down a specific place and they tracked what happened outside of that. Many people in this country have not traveled overseas and do not come into contact with anybody who's traveled overseas. And if that had been the route, if we'd done what China did instead of what, several European countries did or failed to do early enough, we may have seen quite a different result, and one that was a lot less painful and that will take us a lot less to recover from. And I just need to say it's a fallacy to think this is economics versus health. We're talking about the health consequences of lockdown. So people starving and suffering from malnutrition. Mm. There's an outbreak of malaria now in Zim. These things have health consequences in the poorest parts of the world.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to starve to death in Germany, so they can lock down. It's not clear that that's true here.
Yeah, I totally understand that, and I don't think, certainly on my side, when I say economics health, I'm not saying the one is versus the other. I'm saying that it's a spectrum and a tightrope that we're walking, and I think that that's really important. Prof, if people want to see the video, get hold of the video, just to understand it, COVID on the breadline, how did they get it?
It's in various places.
Yeah.
I've posted it on my blog, which has the simplest address, which is philosepi.org. Philosepi is short for philosophy of epidemiology. So philosepi. But I can also send you that link.
Let's put it out there now before we have to go to the break. Thank you very much, Prof. Alex Broadbent from University of Johannesburg, to check out the video Philosepi, philosepi.org. And you can watch it, get some sense of it, maybe look at it, argue it, debate it, and certainly grow your knowledge of these issues that are going on in this country. It's 7:41.
From grade 1 up until grade 4, I was bullied about my dark skin complexion. That made me to hate myself. I decided to be an anti-bullying activist. I have a Facebook.